My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. I know who I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. If your prayer life is anything like mine, it's like riding a roller coaster. Up and down, up and down, and around. There's days where it's non-existent. I didn't eat breakfast this morning, so I didn't pray for it. Lunch was spent going through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and it didn't pray for it. Should have, for sure. And nighttime comes, and the rat race is over, and off to bed we go, and I forgot to pray to my Lord. But then there's days that I can't stop praying because my heart is hard, and I have something that's bothering me, and life has been a struggle, and there's all kinds of issues that have popped up. Boy, our prayer lives can be just quite dramatic or non-existent. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." What a humble man. I had nowhere else to go but my knees. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Have you ever got up in the morning and thought to yourself, "I'm not prepared for this day whatsoever. I'm so insufficient for this day," and what do we do? Are we driven to our knees and pray to our Lord God? Are we talking to Him? Do we realize the dependency that we need from our God in prayer? I depend upon you. You got to help me here, Lord. Martin Luther once said, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." I've never spent 3 hours of my life in prayer at once, but I cannot imagine spending 3 hours praying to God because I have so much to do. Brethren, we need to be taught how to pray. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, God commanded His people to teach the words of God diligently. Teach them to their families and to their children. And the Shema was part of that. That was a prayer that they said. And they were taught that prayer so that they could recite that. If the only time that our children hear us pray is at the supper table, we're not teaching them how to pray. Maybe we didn't grow up in a Christian home, though. And prayer was not there. So nobody did teach us to pray. There was no example that was set for us. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place," Jesus, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." One of Christ's own disciples, one of his own followers, asked him to be taught how to pray. And I hope and pray that we can all learn how better to talk to our God. And I think over the past 10 years that we have been here, almost 10 years, I have seen a different type of prayer coming from the mouths of our men. It has changed. It has grown. But I think there's still some growing that we can do as a congregation and as individuals whenever it comes to talking to our God. Because that is what it is. It's a conversation that we can have with our Lord. So I want to start this morning looking at how we are not to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "When you pray," Jesus speaking here, "when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Praying is not to impress one another. It's not to impress a man in any way. It's not to make me look as though I'm pretty special because I know how to pray. this is not what God wants. This is not what Christ expected of his disciples when they prayed. Don't make it showy. And then Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, there are a couple of verses later, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, praying's not to be the same prayer over and over and over. I remember an instance where someone told me about how they could recite the prayer of this brother. As soon as he was going to get up on that microphone, he was going to say this prayer, and they had it memorized. It was the same one over. And this is not what God wants from us. He wants us to talk to him. It's not to impress man. It's not to say the same thing over and over. Our Catholic friends would pray the rosary. This would be a prayer that is written out and that they would pray in certain times of distress or whatever it might be, pray the rosary. This is not what God expects of us. Praying is not to be a long, drawn-out thing to try and impress with many words, but rather it's a conversation with our Lord. And we together can commune together in that time of praying. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Says, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Now, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all goods that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, will not so much as raise his eyes to God, because he just had so much sin within him, didn't he? He beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, prayer is not to be arrogant. It's not to show my righteousness, not to try to prove to God or anyone else of how good I am and what I have done, but rather humbling ourselves and talking to our Almighty God. Today I'd like to talk just a little bit about the basics of prayer, because for the next four Wednesdays we are going to dive a little deeper into prayer and practice praying so that we can learn more about our Lord. So what does God expect when it comes to prayer? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. God has an expectation for his Christians on this earth, and that is that we pray for all men. This is good. This is acceptable. This pleases our Lord, that we have this conversation with him about others, about ourselves, and about those who are in authority. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, therefore by him, or by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Offer the sacrifice of praise. That's how God looks at our prayers. This is us praising him, speaking to him, talking to him, is praising him, glorifying him. This is what he wants from us with our prayers. Prayer is how we communicate with God. It's our direct line to him, and he wants us to talk to him. And when we do, he will listen. He will hear. What a blessing that we have this avenue to go to God. It's not like the men of old where he spoke to them directly, but he speaks to us now through his word, doesn't he? And we hear him speak to us, and we can talk back to him through our prayers. Let's talk about the basics then. How do we address God in our prayers? What's that sound like? Who is he? Who is he to us? In Luke chapter 11, where the disciple asked about Lord teaches to pray, Jesus goes right on and he says to him, these things, he says, when you pray, say this. And he starts out by saying, our Father in heaven, and here was the funny joke I gave at one time, Howard be your name, Hallowed be your name. Some kid thought it was Howard instead of Hallowed. Yeah, Howard's his name, right? Hallowed be thy name, or your name, your kingdom come. You know the prayer that Jesus recited here. When the disciples asked him to be taught how to pray, Jesus showed them that you need to recognize the authority that God is. He is our authority, and he is to be respected whenever we pray to him. David in Psalm chapter 3, in very numerous places in the Psalms, we see David saying, oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, crying out to him, oh Lord. We hear Sovereign Lord, Lord Almighty, Heavenly Father, God. All these are used in prayers in the Scriptures. These are the ways to approach God. It's with calling upon his name. Approach God with reverence. Approach him for who he is, our Creator and our God. So that's how we start our prayer. So the basics. Now, how do we end the prayer? Well, what, Alan, you missed out here. Wait, what about the middle portion here? What are we going to pray? That's what we're going to do on Wednesday nights, is we're going to start learning about what the context of the prayer is going to look like and sound like. Prayers of praise, prayers of scripture, prayers of revival, whatever it might be that we're going to decide that we're going to pray about, we're going to get into that. But how do we end the prayer? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Through him. In John chapter 14... Jesus specifically talks about this. How are you going to come to God? In 14 verses 13 through 14, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have to talk to our Father through Christ Jesus. It's the only way to get that communication, that avenue of communication started with him. In chapter 16 of John, verses 23 and 4, it says, in those days you will ask me nothing, and in that day you will ask me nothing, Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be full. We have to pray in Jesus' name. Now, most of us will end our prayer with in Jesus' name, but I have prayed at certain times, our God in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. There's nothing wrong with that, but we have to make it known that it is in Christ's name. Otherwise, is God going to listen to the prayer? No, because if anybody wants to come to the Father, it is only through the Son. He goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 5, Paul does, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14, 6. There's no other way to have a relationship with the Father, and there's no other way to have a communication with the Father than through Jesus Christ. Our prayers must be through him. Therefore, he is able to save the utmost. Gotta put them on. Therefore, he is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ, our intercessor and our Savior. So, we start our prayer addressing God. We end our prayer with, where we make sure our prayers are going to him in Jesus' name. But then at the end of the prayers, we say what? Amen, right? Why? Why do we say amen? What's the purpose of that? In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 36, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. They agreed to this statement. Blessed be the God of Israel. That's what it is. It's agreeing to the prayer that is being said. So if you get into some situation where somebody is praying in Jesus' name, and they say some things in their prayer that don't really work well with you, do you say amen? No, you do not. Because when we say amen, we are together as a group agreeing upon the words that are going to the Lord, and he hears that prayer as one from many. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is Greg's favorite scripture. And it talks here, this is actually in a prayer that Paul is stating for the Ephesian brethren. For this reason, I bow my knees in verse 14 to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or we think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Right there in the scripture. So be it. We agree. That's what amen means. Every use of amen in the Bible means surely or so be it. When we pray together and we say amen, we are agreeing on the prayer that was said. So, start with talking to God, recognizing who he is, the authority. We're going to put that prayer to him through Jesus' name. And amen, if we agree, is going to be said. But this Holy Spirit has something to do with prayers too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 through 16, right after we talked about love in chapter 13, Paul goes into talking about spiritual gifts or tongues and prophecies. And if you get into that study, you recognize that the importance of if there's a tongue being spoken or a different, if I was to speak to you today in Dutch, how many of you would recognize any of the words that I would say? You under, just a few, ang, twang, drie? What's that mean?
I don't
recognize those words. Okay, that's one, two, three. That's the only Dutch I know. But anyway, you get the point. She didn't know what I was saying there. So if you're talking to someone in a tongue, you need to be able to interpret that so that they are edified and encouraged. So it's the same way with prayers. We need to make sure that our prayers are being said in the right manner so that we can understand them. So verses 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. There's nothing fruitful about it if you can't understand my prayer. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will also sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, amen? There's no way. Our prayers need to be understood. The Spirit needs to be involved in those prayers so that we understand, and they are taken to God through Jesus, and we can all say that prayer by amen. We agree. So, my spirit's praying with me. I am praying with the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, when we're talking about the Spirit being involved in our prayers. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's times that maybe I am just to the point that I don't even know what to say to God. But my heart is so hard and heavy. And I've got something that's weighing on me, and I just need to go to you, God, and help me here. The Spirit is taking our feelings and our heart, and he is making sure God knows and understands what is taking place, and he is hearing my prayer because that Spirit is interceding for us. He's the conduit for our prayers to get to God. He acts on behalf of me to make sure that God hears our prayers. So the Spirit is very involved in our prayers too. So what about that middle section? What about that portion that we didn't talk about? Well, Jesus tells us back in Luke chapter 11, the Acts of Prayer, A-C-T-S, Acts of Prayer, an acronym there standing for a few certain things that he spoke about. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Give us this day or day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is not what we're to pray, but rather this is the content of what our prayers should look like and sound like. If you want the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. That's where Jesus was praying. This is where he's teaching to pray. And here's what it should look like. First, adoration, Acts. A, adoration. We need to adore our God, and we've talked about that already. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we need to adore him in some manner. Secondly, confession. And forgive us our sins. There's going to be parts of our praying on Wednesday night where we're going to confess. We may be going to confess individually, if there's something. We may be confess corporately. Maybe there's something this congregation needs to confess of to our Lord. Maybe we need to confess for our society, the trash that's happening in our world today, the things, the uncertainty in our nation right now. Lord, I'm confessing that we have really failed at doing this, this, and this. This is what we're going to practice. Okay. Third, thanksgiving. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we have. Thank you for air conditioning. Right? There's so many things we can be thankful for, and I think that we can fill a whole hour worth of prayer corporately about thanking God. And last, supplication. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, help me. I'm calling on you to help me. And there may be some prayers that we have to say over the next few weeks that we need some help, God, and here's how it's going to be. For the next four Wednesdays, let's gather together. Let's have a short lesson, 10, 15 minutes of teaching. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time in prayer. We're going to practice praying. Now, this may seem a little bit out of our normal, right? This may seem a little bit out of our box. But I'm persuaded that if we can pray together as a congregation and understand what God wants us to do, how he wants us to pray to him, there will be blessings from it. Learn how to pray a prayer of confession or thanksgiving. Say a prayer of intercession or praise to God. Praying scripture or praying for revival in our life. This class is intended to benefit us in a way that we will learn how to pray more efficiently, more effectively, and explore different ways to pray. We're going to improve our personal prayer lives. We're going to improve our corporate prayer life. And we will improve congregational relationships. And not only that, but who knows where God will take us if we start praying together. Don't underestimate the power of prayer, because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Brethren, I encourage you to start attending on Wednesday night. Join with us as we pray together. Strengthen this congregation. Pull us up out of the uncertainty that we may have in our lives or the issues that are bothering us. Let's pray together and let's be encouraged as we do so. If you have a need this morning, make it known as we sing the song of encouragement.